about the importance and the benefit of the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the church. So you came back this morning and got a house full, and I thank you for it. It's great to see Mary Lou Maddox with us this morning. Her son Roger's here with her as well. She's got a birthday coming up, so happy birthday coming to Carbondale for this Sunday. And all the rest of you that you're usually here, well, thanks for being here. And if you've surprised us this morning, well, thanks for showing up today. We mentioned Joy Cavanis and some of her family are here this morning. So glad you're able to be here. And all the rest of you, thanks for showing up. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to talk about the benefit of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the life of the individual believer. I'm going to tell you a little bit, at least the difference that this experience, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, has made in my life. You know, you're in an Assembly of God church, and so we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit as described in Acts, in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2 in particular, and we say that experience, that you've heard me say this over the last 7 weeks here that we've been talking about this, that the Holy Spirit dwells in our heart when we're born again. We repent of our sins and ask Jesus to come into our heart. The Holy Spirit lives with us. But then there is another experience that he has for us that we refer to as the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That, and I'll give you some details here as we walk through this, some benefits that come from this experience. It's exactly what we heard that Jesus said to his disciples, I want you to wait in Jerusalem. Wait for the gift that my Father has promised. So there was something else in addition to that salvation experience, a deeper experience that Jesus wanted them to have. In the little book that I wrote 25 years ago on the Holy Spirit, I stayed in there that I'm not arguing that the baptism of the Holy Spirit makes me a better Christian than everybody else. So it's been kind of the contention that those who are non-Pentecostal, who don't believe in this experience, kind of say, well, so you think that makes you more spiritual? No, I don't think it makes me more spiritual than them or than you. I think it makes me more spiritual than I was before I had this experience. All right. So it's not about something that enhances me above somebody else. It's just that this experience deepens my walk with the Lord and my spiritual growth in my life. That's been the experience of my life. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning. So Jesus spoke of the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a gift from the Father that had been promised to the disciples, that Jesus had said, stay there, you'll receive this gift, and then you'll be empowered to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. So if God has a gift for us, then I want to receive that gift, whatever it is. My best recollection is that I was about 9 years old when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. How many, anybody nine that's in here? Some of the kids that were up here. Are you 9 years old? Wave at me where I can see you. Anybody? I'm not seeing back there very far. Yeah, I see a hand or two somewhere. So you're 9 years old. Good deal. So I'm about that age, 9 years old when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I can't say that I understood everything about that. You know, I can't say that I understand it all at 62 either. But again, what I can say is that this experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues that comes along with that, has made a huge difference in my spiritual life. I couldn't begin to estimate the significance and the importance of that experience in my life. So thank God for this experience. The gospel writers testified that Jesus would baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised the disciples that in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, it says, what we speak of as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it says, on that day, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. One goes with the other. We'll talk a little bit about the prayer language of the Spirit, speaking in other tongues. And we kind of talk about, well, I've heard people say, pray to receive that gift of tongues. Well, what we're praying for is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that immediate effect, that immediate physical evidence is that you'll speak with other tongues. So if you receive one, you're going to receive the other. They're coming to you hand in hand. So when we read about it in Acts 2:4, you know, you can say, well, I read it and it doesn't say they were baptized. It says all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. It doesn't say they were baptized. It says they were filled with. So to fill up with or to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's like the Bible gives us a couple of different images or pictures or terms. So which is it? When you pray for this experience, are you baptized in the Spirit or are you filled with the Spirit? And we use those terms, baptized in the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit. We received the baptism. We were filled with the Spirit. The New Testament even says the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, or, you know, they were filled with the Spirit. Now we talk about receiving the prayer language of the Spirit. All those are kind of terms that are talking about the same thing. So I've got just a real simple little illustration here to show you. When we talk about this, so it's like, well, what's the difference? I mean, which is it? Am I being baptized in the Holy Spirit or am I being filled with the Spirit? See if I can do this without slossing. Am I not able to say that? Doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with my illustration. So I don't know if you'll be able to see this in the back. It's just that I couldn't pick this up and put it on the platform. So let's suppose that our little place of healing, hope, laughter, and peace cup, is this what you get if you're a free, if you're a member? I mean, you will? Okay. That's what you're going to get. So that's what we mean when we say a token of our appreciation. Right there is a token. But it's a great token for me because this is all I drink out of. Anyway, so let's say this is you. You're the person. Now, I'm going to baptize this in my fish tank here. I'm going to baptize this cup. Guess what happens when I baptize this, all right? I'm going to stick it in there. So, what just happened? I baptized it. It's soaking wet all around, but guess what else happened? I filled it up. When we talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you can't say, well, I was baptized in the Spirit, but I didn't get filled up. And I don't know that you can get filled up without being baptized either, just by the nature, and I know the analogy kind of gets weird. But when I baptize that cup, it fills up. I don't want us to get too bogged down with the terminology. Like, well, is there a difference between being baptized in the Spirit or baptized with the Spirit or being filled with the Spirit? It's all going to have that same effect that you are saturated in. Jesus even says in the Gospels, you'll be clothed with power from on high. Well, what does that mean? Surrounded with. We put it on. It's what's covering us. It's the element that we're in. So the Holy Spirit baptizes us. We're baptized in. We're saturated with. We're filled up. It's all kind of happened right there. And now I'm still kind of wet. I'm half baptized myself here. So anyway, so I'll get my hand wrung out as we turn the page here. So this is what we're talking about. This is it's a saturation. It's inside and outside. Something physically happens on the outside, right? And we're speaking in other tongues, but something inward happens, something spiritually happens on the inside that the Holy Spirit then enables us to speak in a language that we've not learned with our mind or intellect. And so all of it's a simple illustration, but it's making the point of what's happened. We're kind of saturated in, baptized in, immersed in, filled up with the Holy Spirit. And all those terms sound good to me. It was the end of a Sunday morning service at First Assembly of God in Muskogee. I was about 9, and I just had this hunger in my heart for everything Jesus had for me. I just wanted more of Jesus. And, so as a 9-year-old, 8 or 9 years old, it was just, I wanted the next thing. God, whatever you've got for me, this is what I want. And so the service had ended. I was praying at the altar. Most everybody was gone. All my friends were gone and stuff. My folks were sitting on that front row. It was over here. I still remember. It was over here on this side of the platform at the old First Assembly there in Muskogee. And there were a couple of ladies there that were praying. They worked in Sunday school or children's church or whatever. And they had stayed around to pray. The pastor was somewhere around there. But they were just praying with me. And again, everybody was kind of long gone. I have some recollection that at some point in time, you know, one of them was kind of praying in my ear and holding my hands up. And you that are maybe a little older kind of remember that kind of setting for some of us. We used to use this phrase about praying through to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All right, we're going to pray through to the baptism. And on reflection, that might be a pretty accurate term, because we kind of pray through the hesitancy we might have or the uncertainty about this. Is this really for me? And how does this work? And you're telling me that I'm going to pray in a language that I've never learned. How is that possible? And so there's kind of reluctance that you kind of pray through that, or even the thought, will Jesus really even want to give me this experience? And how do I step out in faith and receive this? So all those things we're kind of praying through. through that. And it was, again, it was well after afternoon praying that, and this hunger, that I began then to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit just kind of welled up inside of me. When Jesus said there'll be a river of living water that kind of gushes up from in you, that's kind of my recollection of the way it felt. And there was a joy that accompanied this experience. There was a realization of God's presence in a different way. There was an emotional aspect to this as well, as God's Spirit just kind of flooded my life and my being. And this Spirit baptism and this accompanying spiritual language, speaking in other tongues, has made a huge difference in my life. I believe this experience was a doorway for me to more and more of what God had for me. I believe it was that experience that through middle school or junior high in those days and high school kind of kept me serving Jesus and living for Him, kept me on track, led me into truth, gave me the boldness to be a witness, to start Bible studies and prayer meetings and those kind of things in school. It was the help of the Holy Spirit that made the difference throughout those days of my life. At least that's been my experience. So let me just share a couple of benefits that I believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit will bring in your life. The first thing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit makes Jesus and His Word come alive in your heart and life. The baptism brings what I would call a deeper intimacy with Jesus, a heightened awareness of His presence, a greater kind of awareness of the significance and the importance of that relationship that we have. That Jesus became more real, more important, more at the center, the core of my life as a result of that experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I do kind of believe that's one of the things that kind of sets Pentecostals, people that believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, kind of set us apart from other parts of the Christian world, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit makes Jesus come alive. That it's not just us focusing on learning what He did 2,000 years ago, but we're experiencing what He's still doing today by His Holy Spirit. That He still speaks to His church and to His people. That He still is at work. That He still does miracles and heals people. That He still works in a personal dimension, in a personal, private kind of way in the life of a believer. He's still guiding and directing our steps and our lives and our choices on a daily basis. I can remember our house was probably a mile or so from the elementary school that I went to. My school's not even there anymore. There are houses where Pershing Elementary School used to be in Muskogee. But we walked, we were kind of on the poor side of all this, but you walk past the entrance to Honor Heights Park. If you've been there for the Azalea Festival, if you turn there where the big cannon is or whatever out there, well, just another couple of blocks up there was my elementary school. So I had to walk up that street, and I can remember, and I don't know why that stands out to me, but I can remember walking to school and praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. And I can also remember, and I don't know why that stands out, but I know I kind of had that sense of, I wonder if I'm just the weirdest kid on the planet. And in fact, I could have been. I could have held the record. But anyway, just kind of thinking, I wonder if anybody else does that. I wonder if any of the other kids at church that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I wonder if they pray like this. Or do they just do that at church? Is this weird that I'm praying as I'm walking to school and that I'm praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit? I wonder, is that even a thing that people do? Do my parents do that? Do other people do that? And I just had those kind of questions in my head about how this worked in my life. But what I knew was I had this sense that Jesus was walking with me. And that kept me safe from big kids and bullies and dogs and everybody else, that Jesus was on the journey with me. And I had this sense that He was walking with me into the school and into the classroom and at recess and wherever I was, that Jesus was there. There was an awareness of almost like friendship, but certainly relationship, and a greater intimacy that I had with Jesus as a result of this experience. We sing that old hymn in the garden, and the chorus says, "And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own." And that those words were kind of amplified in my life by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I really knew that Jesus walked with me and talked with me, and that He said to me, "I'm His own." He was alive in my heart and in my life. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away." And they're thinking, how could that be? But He said, "Look, if I don't go away, the Counselor won't come. But if," and He's referring to the Holy Spirit, "but if I go, I'll send Him, the Holy Spirit, to you. And when He, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, He'll guide you into all truth. And he won't speak on his own, but he'll speak only what he hears, and he'll tell you what's yet to come. He'll bring glory to me by taking from what's mine and making it known to you. So as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was like Jesus became more than the character in the stories that we read in the Bible. He became the living Lord of my life, and I could sense his presence, his involvement, and it enhanced every aspect of my relationship with Jesus. And again, just as Jesus said, the Holy Spirit continually brought glory to Jesus and revealed Jesus in a greater fashion to me than ever before in my life. He spoke the things to my heart that Jesus wanted me to hear and wanted me to know. He spoke those things that I needed to understand about who I was as a kid in Muskogee. We got ready. I knew we were moving to Tulsa at the end of my sixth grade. I remember taking one of my best friends, and he's a physician here in town that I've not seen in years and years. But I remember taking him to First Assembly of God. We rode our bikes over there. And I said, I just want to make sure that you know Jesus because I'm moving away. I don't know if I'll see you again. I don't know how this is going to work because Tulsa was a million miles away as far as I was concerned from Muskogee. But I just want to know, I go to church. Well, I just want to know that you're going to meet Jesus. Well, what kind of a weird kid was I? But that's what I wanted to know. I wanted to know my friends were going to go to heaven because I didn't want to, if I was going to leave them in Muskogee, I wanted to make sure I was going to meet them in heaven, you know? And so the things that Jesus showed me, then the Holy Spirit helped me to understand and want to show to somebody else. He not only makes Jesus come alive in your heart, but the experience makes the Word of God come alive. Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of John 16, verse 13 in the Message Bible reads like this. The Holy Spirit, He won't draw attention to Himself, but He'll make sense out of what's about to happen and indeed out of all that I have done and said. The Holy Spirit makes sense out of the Word of God. He makes God's Word come alive in our heart. He helps us apply God's Word to our heart in those situations, whether it's in school or at home or in business or wherever we are. He makes God's Word come alive. It's one thing to read the Bible like it's a book, like a piece of literature. It's another to read it with the insight that's given by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible becomes a guide for our life, a roadmap to our life as the Holy Spirit gives us understanding about this book. And who better to show us what God had in mind when He inspired the writers to write it? The Apostle Paul said, in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And we've not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God that we can understand what God has freely given us. So what he's saying is, who better to explain this? Nobody knows the mind of God except the Spirit of God. And it's part of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's job. It's what He wants to do is to make that Word plain to us so that we understand what God has freely given to us by His Spirit through what Jesus did for us on the cross. So all the things of God, the spiritual life is given to us by the Holy Spirit. He helps us understand that. The baptism in the Holy Spirit helps us understand all that God has given us. He teaches us and enlightens us as to what God has given us. Paul goes on to say, the man without the Spirit doesn't accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, and he can't understand them because they're spiritually discerned. There's a whole lot of things in this world that I kind of listen to the news media and politicians and others that scratch their heads, and they make all these broad assumptions about the church, the church... Here's what Christians want to say, and here's what Christians do, and here's how they think about us. And I'm thinking, you know, that's not at all right. That's not at all the truth. But you know what? The thing is that we're wanting you to discern something by the Spirit, and you don't have the Spirit to discern it. You don't have spiritual understanding about what the book says. You don't understand how is it possible that we can say something is a sin, but we really do love and care about the people that are still involved in that. How is that possible? Well, I can't explain it anyway, but it's spiritually discerned if you're living for Jesus and the Spirit of God dwells in you. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit opens your mind and spirit to discern the things of God as never before. There's a new spiritual understanding and discernment that can come as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And probably the majority of you have had this experience where suddenly you read something in the Bible and you think, I know I've read that 1,000 times, right? You've read that over and over again, and it really didn't make any sense to you. And this morning, when you read it, it was like something kind of, a light came on and you went, oh, So that's what God's talking about. Oh, so that's what the Holy Spirit. So that's how that works. So that's what that means. And so all of a sudden the light comes on. It's a word spoken to your heart. That's what the Holy Spirit does to bring that kind of discernment to us. Pastor Jack Hayford, in his book, The Beauty of Spiritual Language, writes, I've rarely met a person who entered the realm of exercising spiritual language. And this is the term that Hayford uses for speaking in other tongues. He talks about the benefit of tongues. And again, tongues doesn't come unless the baptism of the Holy Spirit is there. So it's the chicken or the egg or whatever. It all comes at the same time. But he's talking specifically about the spiritual language, he calls it. So he says, I've rarely met a person who entered the realm of exercising spiritual language, praying in tongues, that either or both of these matters are soon brought up, usually in words like these. That someone would say, since I opened to this dimension of the Holy Spirit's work in my life, Jesus has become so much more precious to me. Worshiping God has become so much more vital. Or they'll say, I don't know how to explain it, but since I received my spiritual language, since I'm praying in the Spirit, the Bible has opened up with a new clarity and depth to my understanding. I can't get enough of it. I love the Word of God. And Hayford says exactly how the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues, how that enhances the matter of understanding the Scripture or loving Jesus is probably a matter of speculation. But it's clear that both the Bible and God's Son are central to the Holy Spirit's program, to what He wants to do. He breathed the Bible into existence and He glorifies Jesus at every opportunity. So it's not surprising that a person baptized in the Holy Spirit and that speaks in other tongues is a Bible-centered, Christ-centered person. The baptism of the Holy Spirit increases our intimacy with Jesus, increases our understanding of His Word. And then in addition, the baptism of the Holy Spirit brings benefit to our prayer life. The baptism of the Holy Spirit will revolutionize and transform your prayer life as you pray, as Hayford calls it, in the language of the Spirit, as well as praying in English. We refer to speaking in tongues as the initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And while baptism in the Spirit and being filled with and empowered by the Spirit is the gift the Father promised about, I believe speaking in tongues is itself very much a part of that gift. It's not the gift alone. It's evidence of having received the gift. But speaking in tongues is of spiritual benefit to the believer. We quoted Hayford referring to it as spiritual language. Well, some refer to it, I think it was Oral Roberts, was the first person I ever talked about receiving your prayer language and talking about speaking in other tongues as the prayer language of the Spirit. Why would we call it that? Here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14. Anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. He's talking about praying in tongues or speaking in tongues. And he says, you're not speaking to men, but to God. If you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking to God. That's what prayer is, right? So I think it's fair and accurate to call speaking in tongues then a prayer language, because it is language that's directed to God. And Paul writes this then, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I'll pray with my spirit, but I'll also pray with my mind, with my understanding. So if we pray in tongues in a spiritual language, Paul says, but it's unfruitful to your intellect. You don't know what those words are. You're praying in a language that you haven't learned. How is there benefit to that? Well, Paul says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So it is edifying. It is spiritually beneficial to us to pray in the Spirit. Our faith is built up. Intercession occurs according to God's Word and God's will. We're praying in agreement with His Spirit. The little book of Jude encourages us. But beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And so our faith is built up and increased as we pray in the Spirit. It's faith building. It edifies you spiritually. It lifts you up even if your intellect is not understanding. So I believe praying in tongues provides an entirely new language with which to worship and magnify Jesus. I know it's kind of mystical sounding. It's supernatural in its manifestation, because it's not something that you learn, but it is the Holy Spirit speaking through us. It's your tongue, your mouth, words, though, that are given and prompted by the Spirit. And I know there have been times when I've just kind of been lost in worship and overwhelmed by the presence of the Lord. I just haven't had the words to say, to tell the Lord how thankful I am or how much I love Him. And then the language of the Holy Spirit, it seems, is able to say what my intellect can't come up with. I can't find the word. But in order to honor Jesus and glorify Him, the Holy Spirit can pray through us with words that we haven't learned, but words that are pleasing to Him. I don't know if you've ever been in a conversation with somebody that speaks another language fluently, and somewhere in the process they've said something like this. You know, there's a phrase in my language, but it doesn't quite translate into English. That always kind of frustrates me a little bit. Like, what do you mean it doesn't translate into English? I mean, there's got to be a word for it. Well, no, there's not, you know. And so then it's like you're trying to explain, you know, somebody said, trying to explain pineapple to an Eskimo. It's like sweet blubber. You know, well, there ought to be a word. There ought to be a word for that, and I don't know what it is. So that's what they said. It's like sweet, chewy blubber because they eat whales. Anyway. So how do you explain something to somebody that's never seen it or never heard it? There's not a word for it. So, you know, in Hebrew or Italian or whatever, our friends will say. Now, in Hebrew, there's a word for this. We have several words for this. And you Americans, you only have the one word. Well, boy, we were coming up short. But we just can't find the word for it. Or somebody says, well, we have a word for it in our language that expresses it in a much clearer way. It's a much richer kind of understanding of the word. Well, I'm sorry, we don't have that in English. I think maybe that's part of what happens in the Spirit. I don't have a word for it. I don't have a word to express what redemption really is. I don't have a word. When I talk about what Jesus did on the cross, my word is just sacrifice, or that He gave His all, or that He poured out His blood, or gave His life, or whatever. But in a spiritual language, in a heavenly language, there must be words that are much more descriptive of what that really is, that have a greater impact, and somehow the Holy Spirit begins to pray through us, and in a language that causes heaven to rejoice, heaven kind of goes, and that's what I'm talking about. That stuff that you were saying in West Side English, that's okay, and I know it comes from your heart, but let me help you. Let me give you the word for it. And so He's there. It's kind of what you do. If you're married, you kind of understand this. It's like, oh, you know, and you wait for your spouse to go and give you the word or the name or whatever, like, that's what I was looking for. That's the Holy Spirit gives us the word, gives us the name, gives us the language, gives us the description. That's what He wants to bring to us. And so He helps us with our prayer. There's a word that I can't think of, but it's so appropriate in that heavenly language as the Holy Spirit prays through us. And it's not only in times of worship and adoration that the Spirit prays through us, but also in times of intercession. So Paul writes, in the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with utterance or groanings, with words that words can't express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. There are times we don't know how to pray or what we should be praying for. We're not certain about the direction or the will of God, but the Holy Spirit searches the mind of God. The Holy Spirit knows God's mind and will, and so He prays through us in agreement with God's plan, God's timing, God's purpose. And there are other times when the burden is so heavy, when grief or pain is overwhelming, when we're so weak, when we can't seem to find the words, or we can't even form the words. We're just brokenhearted, maybe even over a mistake we've made or whatever. And the Holy Spirit just begins to intercede through us and with words that with groans that words can't express. I think what Paul's saying is that from somewhere deep within us, beyond the place of language, beyond the place of our own language center, comes the spiritual language of the Holy Spirit, who intercedes for us and in our behalf. Oral Roberts used to say that speaking in other tongues was our spirit, now touched by the Holy Spirit, bypassing the intellect and speaking directly to God, spirit to spirit, that it bypassed our thinking, because our thinking's kind of messed up anyway. He knows what to pray, and so the Spirit prays through our spirit and bypasses the intellect. I remember a moment when my mom was so ill with dementia, she was not really talking much to us and didn't recognize us. There was a healthcare worker there, one of the hospice nurses, and Dad and Paula and I were there, and we'd been helping it some way or another. And so we were going to turn her on her side. And when we did, again, she wasn't really verbalizing much. When we turned her on her side, the nurse said something about, oh, she's trying to say something or whatever. And I recognized that she was praying in the Spirit. I thought, you know what? There's evidence of what we're talking about. that the Spirit of God within her bypasses the intellect. Mom couldn't recognize. She didn't know who any of us were. She wasn't speaking. But all of a sudden, what comes out of her is the language of heaven, the prayer language of the Spirit. The intellect's not involved with that, but the Spirit's still alive and well. I remember I preached a sermon the Sunday after that, and one of the lessons of that was, this is what happens when you tip a child of God on their side, praise spills out. And that's what happens, even in the midst of dementia. The Holy Spirit bypassing the intellect, but praying in the Spirit. I heard a former classmate from seminary speaking. He was on the Sid Roth show, if you've ever, it's Supernatural, whatever that was. And I saw him on there. I won't say who he was, but anyway, I happened to just catch a little clip of that. And he mentioned about the Lord had put him in a position that he had not expected and had opened an opportunity of ministry for him that he said, you know, I never really thought that this would be something the Lord would want me to do. And he said, and I finally said, Lord, why have you put me in this position? This is not where my interest or where the ministry was going. And he said, I felt the Lord tell him, this is in answer to your prayers. And he said, well, I don't understand because I haven't been praying about this at all. I've never prayed about this particular kind of ministry. And he said, and I felt the Lord say to me, every time you prayed in tongues, every time you were praying in the Spirit, this is what the Spirit was saying. This is what you were praying about. Well, I'd never heard anybody say that, never had thought about that until I heard him say it. But Paul does say we're speaking mysteries in the Spirit. So I'm not creating a new doctrine there, but I'm certainly willing to entertain the idea that maybe at times we're praying for things that we haven't seen yet or that we haven't encountered yet in our life. Things, though, that the Holy Spirit knows about, that he's praying, Lord, Father, there's a day going to come when Phil's going to be in position for this, or this is what he's going to face. And so the Holy Spirit's making intercession for us about what is yet to come in some area of our life. And there's benefit to that. The Spirit makes intercession for us because he prays in accordance with the will of God for our lives. It's just one more of the benefits that come from the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the prayer language of the Spirit. And there's so much more. The baptism of the Holy Spirit opens up the door to the gifts of the Spirit operating in our life. And it occurs to me the great healing ministries and evangelists of the last 117 years from the beginning of the 1900s, that all of that kind of was flowing through the Pentecostal part of the church, almost 700 million Pentecostals worldwide, but it is that arm of the church that believed in the active, ongoing, miraculous ministry of the Holy Spirit. And those early day guys that were doing healing ministry, William Branham and Jack Coe and Oral Roberts and Catherine Kuhlman and Benny Hinn and on through the list or whatever, it was born out of, birthed out of this move of the Holy Spirit. And that's because there was an openness to believe that the Holy Spirit still wanted to do today what he did in the book of Acts, that miracles would still happen. And so, again, the list could kind of go on and on. But let me just emphasize again as I'm wrapping this up, and if the musicians will come back. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a promised gift from the Father. And Jesus told the disciples that this experience was of such importance to them, he didn't want them to leave the city until they had received this gift of power. So I'm just saying to us today, if the Father wants us to have this gift, and if this gift produces some of the benefits that I've talked about this morning, then I hope it brings you to a place where you say, then I want Jesus to baptize me in the Holy Spirit because I want this experience. Now understand this morning, this is not some kind of, well, I get to check this off my list, or, you know, I get, you know, there's not a quota somewhere. The Assemblies of God doesn't check. Like, did you preach about the baptism of the Holy Spirit lately? Because if you didn't, we're pulling your license or whatever. There's none of that. I'm not trying to convince somebody of something. I don't need to convince anybody of anything. I just want you to understand partly my experience and what I believe the Bible has to say. And I know some of you were raised in an entirely different kind of church or whatever, maybe Baptist or Methodist or Roman Catholic or Episcopal or Lutheran, whatever, where this was not talked about, or where someone told you, well, this experience just happened in the book of Acts, but then it died out after the first 100 years or whatever, and there was no reason and no need for it. I never heard anybody tell me that through all the Middle Ages and Dark Ages and all that, there were still signs and wonders and miracles happening until I went to seminary. And then a professor said, let me show you how the Holy Spirit was at work in 300 and in 600. Let me show you how he was working in 1,000. Let me show you how he was working in 1,800 in England. Let me show you how Pentecostal manifestations were happening. Let me show you. Really? I mean, because I didn't know what happened and all that. But what I understand is the Holy Spirit's always been at work in His people. And so if you have to sidestep some cultural things or somebody that said, no, that's just not the case, then I'm just asking you to take a look at what the Scripture says this morning. And all I'm saying is be open to whatever the Holy Spirit has for you. Again, this is not for my benefit, it's for yours. And if by saying, Lord, I'm open to whatever you have for me, including this experience, including the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and if that means that it comes with speaking in other tongues, then Lord, in spite of what my great-grandmother, who will spin in her grave if she hears that I'm speaking in tongues, in spite of that, I need this experience for me in my life at this moment in time in my life. This doesn't get you kicked out of anything. There's nobody going to go, oh, Lord, if they hear about this, that's just one we're not going to tell anybody. This is not something any weirder than just us saying, Lord, whatever you have for me. Now, understand, it's like saying I've had some friends of mine, pastors of other denominations that have said, I'm open to whatever. If God wants to give me that experience and give me the gift of tongues, that'll be just great. Well, that's good. It's kind of like me saying, if the Lord wants me to go to work in the morning, that'll be great. He'll stand me up, clean me up, comb my hair, put my clothes on me, and kick me out the door. You'll have to get up and take a shower, okay? Or your coworkers would appreciate it. And you'll have to dress and you'll have to get in the car. There's something that you're expected to do. And so to just say, well, if he wants to do it, fine. If he doesn't, that's fine. No, it's partly up to us that there's a hunger that's there and openness to receive. And when it comes right down to it, then there has to be that openness that you're going to speak as the Spirit enables you. But that language, and you may hear words that come in your mind or spirit, and you're thinking, is that me? Am I making that up? Just begin to speak and see what the Lord says. Ask Him for this experience. Ask Him to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Just start by saying, Lord, I just want more of you. I want more of Jesus. That's where I was as a 9-year-old. I just want Jesus. I just want Him more than... Wait just a minute, Carl. I want this more than I want anything else. More than I want to breathe, I want the Holy Spirit. I want His life. I want His Spirit working in me. Lord, I want what You have for me. And so it's that hunger that moves us. It's that hunger that takes us towards Jesus. And when we do that, folks, I believe He'll satisfy the hunger of our heart. I want you to stand this morning, and I want you to express that hunger. I want you I tell you what, this may be the most Pentecostal thing I'll ask you to do. I want you just to kind of lift your hands up. You know, I don't do that. Well, just humor me this morning, all right? It's kind of a universal act of surrender, isn't it? That's kind of what you do, put your hands up, you know, you're under arrest. I want you just to lift your hands to Him and just say something to this effect. Whatever you have for me, my hands are empty, but my heart is asking for you to fill me up with your Spirit. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Give me whatever it is you want me to have this morning. And if that includes the baptism of the Holy Spirit and includes speaking in other tongues, then so be it. Let that happen in your life. But I want you just to open your heart to receive what He has for you. Ask Him right now. Lord, I know that I'm stepping out of my comfort zone, but I'm asking for whatever you have for me. I'm asking for spiritual empowerment. I'm asking you to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. And if that means speaking in other tongues, Lord, in a prayer language, a language of the Spirit, then Lord, I'm open to that. I step beyond any cultural prejudices or anything else, Lord. I'm just hungry for more of Jesus. I'm hungry for what you have. I'm hungry, Lord, for what you want to give to me. If this is a gift that you promised me, then Lord, I want that gift. Oh, Holy Spirit, rain down upon me. Father, pour your Spirit out upon me. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Grant to me that spiritual language that I can worship you, Lord, with language and words that I haven't known before. And now just begin to speak to Him. You'll have to do this out loud. You'll just begin to speak. It's okay. And if God speaks a word, maybe a new word, a syllable, a phrase, don't be afraid to speak it out. It's the Holy Spirit wanting to speak through you in a new language, a heavenly language. Trusting, but just begin to worship Him. Oh, Lord, rain down upon us this morning. Rain down upon us, Lord, with Your Holy Spirit working in us today. Holy Spirit, fill us up today.
Jesus, baptize us in your Spirit and fill us up, Lord. Empower us today to be the church you called us to be. Empower us today. Satisfy the hunger of our heart. Oh, Holy Spirit, well up inside us like a river of living water. We're hungry for you. We're hungry for what you have. We're hungry, Lord, for a new spiritual empowerment in our life. We're hungry for that boldness to be everything you've called us to be. And so, Lord, we're not going to draw back from you. We've got nothing to fear. There's no reason for us to be hesitant. But, Lord, we just open ourselves to whatever you have for us. It's a new experience for some, Lord. For some, maybe it's been a long time since they've prayed in the Spirit or prayed in that heavenly language. Lord, just baptize them fresh and new, Lord. Grant them new language, Lord, new expression, a new freedom, Lord, to worship you and honor you. Lord, that we're not afraid. We're open to the gift that you have for us today. We're open to the gift that you have for us, the gift of your Holy Spirit. Oh, rain down upon us this morning with fresh blessing. Rain down upon us this morning with fresh anointing, Lord, with fresh fire in our soul, with fresh boldness and grace. Oh, God, do that work in us today. Holy Spirit, rain down upon us and fill us up, Lord. Let it overflow in us, Lord, so we can take the good news to a generation, so that we can take your good news to others, so we can bring hope to others. Lord, that signs and wonders would follow our lives, Lord, with a new spiritual anointing upon us, Lord, to carry out all that you have for us to do, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, rain down upon us this morning. Just worship him out of your heart this morning. Thank him for that new word. Thank him for that new expression. Thank him for what he's doing. Thank him that even every step you take towards him, he moves towards you. That he's got good things in store for his children today. Oh, we bless your name this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that abides with us. Thank you, Lord, that you still baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you revolutionize our lives and our prayer life. Thank you, Lord, for that work. Oh, we bless your name this morning. Lord, thank you for boldness to speak what you put in our hearts to speak, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit still wants to speak through your church today. Oh, we bless you. We bless your holy name, Lord. Hallelujah. Kundere beheseto lava bokuso. Kurava basata lava boshuvra bakataya. Ki lava bohusonta. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Opens an entrance into God's holy presence and gives you an audience with the God of the universe. And empowers you with a language that he understands that you may not understand, that you're not capable of doing on your own. But it is the power that's lacking in the lives of people. They are hungry for something. They know not what. But the Lord is here today to fill that longing in your heart, though you may not understand. Simply be obedient and open to the Spirit, and he'll do the work in your life that you desire and give you fulfillment that you've never known.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let me, hallelujah. It's all right to rejoice in that. Amen. Now, two things. One, if you're new to this, like, okay, so what's the deal? And why was that? Why did you tell that other guy to wait or whatever? There's an order to all this or whatever. The Bible says it's to be done. And anyway, so 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, read those chapters. It talks about the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues. Not a translation, but it's a response of the Holy Spirit. It's a way, it's kind of like what Sarah was telling the kids, that the Holy Spirit kind of says, wait, here's the gift. And here's this word, kind of a word for this congregation and for some of us this morning to understand about that spiritual power that's needed. And there's more we don't have time to tell you this morning. There's a little book I wrote years ago called The Personal Work of the Holy Spirit. They've got copies of it, I think, at the desk. Just tell them you'd like a copy and they'll give it to you because we want your questions to be answered and we're here to answer those questions. The second thing I want you to understand is that that 9-year-old kid that was kneeling at an altar in First Assembly Muskogee all those years ago, that wasn't the first time I'd asked or the first time I'd prayed. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not the end of a search or a journey. It's the beginning of a journey, all right? And just the hunger for that experience itself was something that kept moving me towards Jesus. That wasn't just a one time I thought, man, that's something I'd like to have. Instead, it was like, oh, Jesus, I want more of you. I want all you have. And it took me on that journey. And that's one stop along the way as He filled me with the Holy Spirit, baptized me in the Spirit. But then that just kept me on this journey. And so I don't want this to be a one thing where you prayed this morning that, well, I didn't feel anything, didn't hear anything, maybe a couple of words, but didn't say anything and whatever, and I'm on my way. Let this be a journey of searching and seeking and hungering after God. Let this be a season of hunger in your life, because I believe the Holy Spirit is preparing us for something and He wants to fill us up because there's some good things ahead. Keep seeking, keep desiring, keep hungering. I had somebody tell me this morning, he said, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the way he said it, I received my prayer language in my sleep. And he told me that before and I'd forgotten it. He said, and I got to tell you, I'm such a logical thinker. And I know some of you think, I don't know about that. But I mean, he said, I would have debated every aspect of that. And he said, and God was so gracious to me that I woke up. He said, I was raised in a denomination that didn't buy this. I woke up praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. And he said, and I sensed the Holy Spirit say to me, this is the way the Father wants to grant this gift to you, because you would have protested it every other way. And so, you know what? God's not reluctant to do this. Seek Him. Desire what God has for you. He's got something good for you. Amen? So, Father, I thank You this morning that You delight in giving good gifts to Your children. We read it this morning from Luke 11 that You said if we ask of the Father, He'll give to His children the Holy Spirit. That's a good gift. And so, Lord, we ask You today to just continue as we hunger after You, as we seek after You. I believe You to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Fill us up with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, come and do that work in and through us and in our lives in Jesus' name. Now, before you walk out of here.